Good evening. I did not coordinate with Jared on anything, but he took the words right out of my mouth. Thank you, Jared. I appreciate that. Let's turn on over in our Bibles to Romans 5. And you can tell I was really prepared because I brought a watch that is not accurate on time. It's actually, I think the battery is dead or dying. And then that clock is always off anyways, so I know you guys have been in a class covering Acts 20 at some point, so if I end up preaching till midnight, you know, just bear with me. Nobody's sitting in the windows. We're good. True. Some people may surprise you. Okay. I just want to start by saying thank you, though. And I genuinely mean it. Thank you. Started thinking about each one of you and you know, it's a really big encouragement for me, and I know it's been reiterated time after time after time, but it's really encouraging to have people come up front and to give exhortations and encouragement in different ways. But it's also extremely encouraging to have each individual, anybody who's hearing this right now, to be listening and to be engaged. And I know that each one of you are supporting different people in different ways, and I want to thank you for that. So I just want to throw that out there, because, you know, each one of us is special and important in God's kingdom. Amen? We are the most privileged people in every way. We've been given so much. But we'll start Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that I get to preach and to speak out of your word. I just pray that it's edifying and that it's pleasing to you, and that I can speak things clearly as they are to be and as you have had them written down, Father. Thank you so much for each person that's here tonight. I pray that we can stay engaged in the Word of God and encourage one another as we press on. It's through your Son's name I pray. Amen. Okay, so talking about David. What made David worth following? Okay, David, you know, he's obviously, Jared pointed out really well, it wasn't just because he was the best-looking guy. I mean, Saul, it says that he was the best-looking person out there, and he was a head taller than everybody else. What made David worth following? His heart? His character, we might say, right? What separated David? Why is David written about so much, and maybe even the second most behind Jesus, there is extracurricular writings out there? I mean, you can find so much stuff on David, whether it's right or wrong or left or right. I don't know. But David has made such a big impact on people. And why is that? And obviously, God really liked him a lot because he put him in a position to lead his people. David had strong character. In the Romans 5, it talks about proven character. Exult in tribulation. Why? It brings about perseverance. Proven character. And so the first point I want to bring out tonight is that David, he proved his character through the tough times. And I think a lot of times we can, you know, just, you know, I want to skip the process. I want to expedite the process. I don't want to go through the hard times because it just hurts so bad. But perseverance is necessary. We need to have our character, we need to be refined, right? And this is a scriptural thing, suffering and all these different things. So we ask the question then, what is character? In the last opening I did, it was funny. I'm not going to name names or anything, but you know, I always ask kids, can you define something? You know, can you define this word? What does this mean? You know, and you know, they raise their little hands, and I ask, you know, what does it mean to be patient? And if hand goes up, and they said, well, it means to be patient. I was like, okay, you're right. Yes, to be patient means to be patient, and you are absolutely right. But I think a lot of times we know what words mean, but we don't maybe necessarily know how to put them into words. We don't know how to more clearly define them. Does that mean that we don't understand what they mean, though? You can look at somebody, you know, you can tell by their fruit. Oh, if somebody has bad fruit, they maybe have bad character. Somebody has good fruit, probably have good character. Proven character is what we're looking at. And David, he showed proven character. But a definition I have for character is the peculiar qualities impressed by nature or habit on a person which distinguish him or her from others. These constitute real character. So basically, simplified, what you do or what you don't do is basically a summation of your character. The way you react to things, maybe the way you proactively act on things, the way you view things, whatever it might be, if you take all the qualities of your life, this is your real character. But we have something that maybe we call estimated character. Reputation. So maybe it's not something that's necessarily proven, right? What's a good example? Well, let's just put it like this. Somebody you're actually listening to, and they tell you, you know, this person, they're a great person. They have all these great qualities. I really want you to meet them. I really want you to be around them. You're around them. They do certain things. They prove it to you. And now you can say your reputation has preceded you, right? But first, you have to have, well, I won't go off into that too deep. So David, he not only did he have a good reputation, he proved his character through what he did. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I kind of already touched on the beginning of this last time I got up here to preach. It says a lot about somebody when they prove their character, though, doesn't it? First Samuel, chapter 30, verse 1. Actually, let's go down to verse 3. So when David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire. Remember, they had just left from the Philistines, and they were coming back to Ziklag. Maybe they thought they were going to have a barbecue and, you know, relax with the wife and the kids and the dog. But no, they come over the hill, and they realized that their city had been burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, please bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. I covered this a little bit last week. They just got rejected, basically. Maybe these guys were warring men. They wanted to go off into battle. And no, we don't want you here, David. The Philistines were like, you know, we don't trust David. So they all get sent back. Now they're going back, and they haven't fought. This is going to play in a little bit later, but they didn't do any fighting. So now they're just going back to Ziklag. You can imagine what that would be like in the distance to see the smoldering town, the smoke. How would that make you feel to come home to a pile of ashes? How would that make you feel to know that your family had just been taken? It says they wept till they had no strength left to weep. I've never actually cried that hard, personally. But I can imagine it was not a pretty sight. And David was put in a tough spot. He was greatly distressed. Every person, all these people that were with him, they became embittered. And actually, the people talked about killing him. Imagine you're working with people. You're working with them. You're building them up. You're leading them. You're leading them. And all of a sudden, now they're all turning on you, and they say, you let us down. Some people are even talking about stoning you. Where are you going to find your strength? So David found his strength in the Lord his God. What was the next thing he did? He inquired of God. He reached out to God. David proved his character. And I think this is a really important part, because this will lead me into the next point, is that David chose proven character, but the next point is that David chose a king's character. Because this is one of the last chapters, actually. David has been, remember, we followed all of this time we've talked about David. He actually hasn't been king yet, right? We've talked about David a lot. David hasn't even made it to being a king yet. And so, over years and years and years of, you know, being on the run, fearing death, all of these different things, David is now finally in a position where he's about to become king. And it took a growth process. Like I said, we can't expedite that process. When we read the Bible and stuff, when we're interacting with people, when we're interacting in the church and whatnot, are we merely just doing this to gain knowledge? Are we just trying to relay information from one person to the other? And I really appreciate each one of you guys being here. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But are we just doing this to relay knowledge? Or are we working on building our character? Jesus, obviously we're trying to strive to be like Jesus. Jesus, he was humble. He was loving. He was kind. We're working on our character. David is a great example of a proven character. Not just in theory, not just, you know, well, he has a good reputation among some. His reputation preceded him. He proved his character through the tough times and the good times. Sometimes not. Sometimes he fell short. But, you know, we look at people with a forgiving eye, you know. Sometimes he did make mistakes. But we are working on our character. And Nolan did an excellent job earlier. He's talking about 1 Corinthians 10. All of these things were done for our example. Let us learn and not just look at these things in theory. These things were proven. David had a king's character. He was in a position, he was ready to become the king of God's people. So let's keep on reading. 1 Samuel 30, verse 9. He just inquired of God, and God said, you know what? But doesn't that feel good? You know, if you go pray to God first thing after something bad happens, and he says, you know what? It's going to be okay. We know that we have victory in Christ. Amen? We know we can go to God, and it's going to be you're going to be okay. Verse 9. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those left behind remained. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 who were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor remained behind. Now they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he ate. And they provided him water to drink. They gave him a piece of fig cake and two clusters of raisins, and he ate. And then his spirit revived. for he had not eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and three nights. David said to him, "To whom do you belong? And where are you from?" And he said, "I'm a young man of Egypt, a servant of an Amalekite. And my master left me behind when I fell sick 3 days ago. We made a raid on the Negev of the Cherethites and on that which belongs to Judah and on the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." Maybe that could either be upsetting or not too upsetting. Maybe they just want to get information out of him. I don't know. But then David, verse 15, said to him, "Will you bring me down to this band?" And he said, "Swear to me by God that you will not kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you to this band." By way of passing, I just want to cover something on here. Do we ever, in the wake of destruction, as was kind of alluded to earlier, are there times that, you know, when we're on the war path, maybe as David, I'm going to go set things right? You know, if there's a little Egyptian guy along the way, I'm just going to push him out of the way. Oh, thanks for giving me the information I need. You know, David was still being righteous, step by step by step. He still was treating people right along the way. And remember, the people had just talked about killing him, so I'm sure he was in a jam. But they still took time to take care of a stranger. We have to ask the question, why would God, okay, God told him when he inquired of God, he said, "Don't worry, you will rescue them all. It's going to work out, David." Why would God allow David to go through all of this just to turn around and say, "It's going to work out"? The character is being built. He's being built into a king. Oftentimes, things in our lives, we wonder, God tells us it's going to be okay, but why are you allowing this to happen? It is a process. We have to endure it. We have to be persevering. Amen? Persevere. This proven character is worth very much. Proven character. In David's position, it's really a king's character. Let's keep going on in our story. Verse 16, 1 Samuel 30. When he had brought him down, the Egyptian, behold, they were spread over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. David slaughtered them from the twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken, and rescued his two wives. But nothing of theirs was missing, whether great, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they had taken for themselves. David brought it all back. So David had captured all the sheep and the cattle, which the people drove ahead of the other livestock. And they said, "This is David's spoil." Again, why? It all worked out, but what was the point of that? You know, why is God making this happen to me? It's a process. 21. When David came to the 200 men who were too exhausted to follow David, who had also been left at the brook Besor, and they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him, then David approached the people and greeted them. Okay. All of these, he had 600 guys with him, and a third of them just fell off the bandwagon. Oh, man. That person, I was really hoping they could hold up this end of everything, but they just got wore out. Now, they didn't really do any fighting, so it probably was physical exhaustion, mental exhaustion, emotional exhaustion. I don't know. But let's look at, remember some of these guys, some of these really, maybe not the best character of men that were with David. Whenever David was in a position to kill Saul, they said, "This is your chance, David. Go kill him." He's like, "I'm not going to kill the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to do it." Verse 22. Then all the wicked and worthless men. These were people who fought. Okay? These were some of the 400 that actually went and did the work too. So they might feel entitled. Okay, these 200 didn't participate. We 400 went and we did this. Now we're upset. Okay? These wicked and worthless men were some of the ones who went with David. And it says, among those who went with David said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then David said, you must not do so, my brothers. With what the Lord has given us, who has kept us and delivered into our hand the band that came against us? And who will listen to you in this matter? For as his share is who goes down to the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike. So it has been from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. David is being giving. Another quality of a king's character. Do we have a hard time maybe in the midst of this great triumph? You know, David is given so much. And he still is like, you know what, overjoyed. I mean, we could look at Saul. We've looked at Saul a lot. Who knows if Saul would even have got to this point. But David, he realized that God had just delivered a great victory, and he said, you know what, give this to them. I don't hold that against them. We went, we did our job. We did what was right. We rescued our family. Give. An overflowing in giving. He's a great king. He has a king's character. Let's keep going, 26. Now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, behold a gift for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to those who were in Bethel and those who were in Ramoth and of the Negev, and to those who were in Jatir, and to those who were in Aroer, and to those who were in Sifmoth, and to those who were in Eshtemoa, and to those who were in Rekel, and there's a lot of other hard-to-pronounce names. And 31, and to those who were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were accustomed to go. So David is showing an overflow of giving, giving, giving. He had just been given a great victory. He got his family back, and he's giving. Like I said, this David, he's showing proven character, and he's just now in a position where he's about to become the king. He's showing a king's character. I want to talk a little bit about character, though. I already did a ton. But what is our character supposed to look like, Christian? Are we to have a character as our King Jesus? We keep growing and growing and growing, and we keep... Galatians 4:19, what does it say? Paul says, you know, I'm laboring, laboring, until Christ is formed in you. We all know 2 Corinthians 5, it talks about, you know, all the old things are gone, new things have come, you guys are built up in Christ. You are a new creation. You have new spiritual genetics. We are constantly being built up. Are we to have a king's character? 2 Peter, and I just jumped ahead, sorry. You weren't supposed to know that yet. Okay, 1 Peter, we're going to start there. 1 Peter 2. What does it talk about? It says we are a royal priesthood. Jesus is a king of kings. We're pretty special, right? But not on our own accord. Christ says that he's lifted us up. He has raised us up, seated with him in the heavenly places. Let's go on over to 2 Peter, though. Let's take a look at that. 2 Peter. I already mentioned Jesus, and Jared even brought that up. Humility. Isn't that one of the building blocks? You know, you could look at James 1, and you know where it's to receive the word implanted with humility, right? If we really want to grow, if we want to let this word change our lives, we got to be humble and we have to be... I've seen a lot of people who are at the top of their game. You know, they got the Olympics. You got all these people who are super competitive, and the one thing that they all say is that you got to wake up every day and you got to be hungry. You got to be hungry. You know, what keeps you going? How are you not physically hungry, like for food, okay? You got to be mentally hungry. You got to want it. You got to want to win. What keeps the Christian going every day? What do we wake up? You know, the Matthew 5 says that Jesus said, you know, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be satisfied. Isn't that what we wake up? We hunger, thirst for the things that God has. Seek first His kingdom. We want the character. That's what we hunger for. 2 Peter 1, and go through and read the whole chapter. Very good. Let's just start in verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received the faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything. Christian, we have everything pertaining to life and godliness. It says it right here. Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. We have become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And then he goes on, he says, now for this very reason also, the reason we just talked about, we're partakers of a divine nature, we're escaping the corruption of the world, that, you know. Now for this very reason also, verse 5, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. That's a foreign, I know that's not a, they don't really teach that out there anymore, but self-control is good. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. We want to love as Jesus loves, right? Right? Amen. I talked about character as being qualities. This is added in if you look at italicized. So, but it's implied there. Verse 8 says, for if these qualities, the ones we just talked about, are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's powerful. Do we want proven character? Character is one of those things that when you talk about character building things, usually that means suffering and pain. Whoa, character building. That probably sounds like we're going to be standing in cold water for a while, or we're going to be doing a lot of push-ups, or we're going to be, you know, exercising patience. You know, but we should desire those things. Those should be the things that when we dive into the Word of God, those are the things that we are saying, I want this. Build my character. I won't drag that chapter out too much. But let's take a little bit more of a look on each one of these. Verse 5. Applying all diligence. What does it look like to be diligent? What does it look like to be diligent? In your faith, supply moral excellence. And this goes right hand in hand with what Nolan was talking about earlier. Immorality is something that is becoming very rampant nowadays. It always has been, but it's becoming promoted to a state where we have to be on top of this. So this ties in with the diligence. We got to be diligent, guys. Throw away the things that, you know, in the class this morning, we talked a little bit about cleaning out the house, and one spirit goes out and he comes back and he finds that it's unoccupied and he brings seven more. We got to be diligent in seeking the right things, having the right qualities, being morally excellent. And honestly, Nolan, I didn't. This just correlates really well. Thanks, brother. In your moral excellence knowledge, I mentioned that we got to be seeking character and not just information. But guys, we should have a knowledge that leads to salvation. Amen? There is a true knowledge. And actually, that's what he ties it in. Later, he talks about the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to gain knowledge. We do. Isaiah 66, he who trembles at my word. We want that spiritual knowledge. And self-control, that one kind of goes with that being said. It's difficult. I'll just say that. To keep ourselves focused on Christ. Christ said, deny yourself. Perseverance. Remember, we're talking about these things because these are talking about a king's character. What does a king's character look like? What do these things look like for us practically as a new creation? Perseverance. You can't substitute this one. Perseverance, like I said, implies there's going to be something you have to work through. There's going to be times that are not the most comfortable, but we are overcomers, right? Amen? To him who overcomes, Jesus overcomes all things. I want to be on that team. How about you? In your perseverance, godliness. Paul writes about that quite often, actually. But we need to be seeking the things of God. Be seeking righteousness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. So the last question I had is, do you want to be as Christ? Philippians 1, let's go on over there. Philippians 1, 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. He's saying, you know what? I love to go away to be with Christ, but also I know there's a lot of work down here, and I'm going to live out Christ on this earth. 23. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart, to be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Remember character. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And he goes on, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict with which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. I love that chapter, and he goes on in the next one. He talks about Jesus, he in humility, in being in the very nature of God, He becomes nature of a slave, a bondservant, right? But here we see a picture. You cannot skip the process. We want to have a proven character. And if there's something that we can take from David as an example, it's that to you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready for that transformation. Being transformed by the renewing of our mind. The way we view things, the way we view the world, the way we view trials and tribulation, we exult in them. We consider it all joy. Amen. So with that, thank you.